And we're going to round out the hour today with the voice of a filmmaker who's already having a very successful 2021, Kemp Powers. Powers is the co-director and co-screenwriter for Pixar's newest film, Soul, which premiered at the end of last month. Powers is also the screenwriter on another major release, One Night in Miami, which he adapted for the screen from his own play and which marks the directorial debut of actor Regina King. The film taps into Powers' interest as a self-described history buff. It was inspired by a brief section he came across in a book about sports and the civil rights movement of the 1960s, detailing what happened after Muhammad Ali won a fight to become heavyweight champion of the world on February 25th, 1964.
No one expected him to win except close friends. So afterwards, rather than go and party in Miami Beach, he retreated to the still segregated black part of town, where he spent the night in quiet conversation with several friends in a room. And those friends were Malcolm X, football player Jim Brown, and singer Sam Cooke. And the next morning is when he spoke to the press and told them that he was officially a member of the Nation of Islam. And so my mind just went wild. I'm imagining what kind of conversation must have happened in that room.
Powers spent more than two decades working in journalism, and he initially envisioned writing a nonfiction book about this night before taking the work in a different direction.
I kind of set about doing a lot of research into just the friendship between those four men, a friendship that blossomed over several years around this night. And the thing that stymied me and prevented me from ever writing that book was the fact that I couldn't quite piece together what they said, many details of what they said in the room, other than like they had bowls of vanilla ice cream. But when I started moving into playwriting, the very thing that had stymied me in terms of writing the book, which was not knowing what happened in the room, really provided a great platform for what I saw as a perfect theatrical work, just using these men and who they were and their experiences to create these characterizations of them to have a discussion that I feel has been going on in the black community for many years before that and all the years since then.
The movie explores the relationship or the responsibility that these men felt that they had to support other black Americans. And there's an interesting tension between Malcolm X and Sam Cooke in terms of their approaches. Why did you see the two of them as being at odds with each other?
Yeah, I mean, I think in reality, they probably wouldn't have been that directly at odds. But I think that their philosophies, their central philosophies about how to progress as a people, when you really look at it, they're kind of like they're very different methods. I mean, Sam Cooke was an incredibly shrewd businessman who figured out how to work within the system that's of the music industry to bring about change. And Malcolm X, through his speeches, was obviously very confrontational and about like change now, change at all costs, change by any means necessary. So these two kind of warring ideas, which are honestly, neither one of them is the right concept for every situation. It's very situational. There are definitely times when we have to be confrontational and change has to happen and change has to happen immediately. And there's other times when, you know, it's you can bring about more lasting change by working within an established structure. So I just wanted to kind of bring to life that debate. It's a debate that's been going on for a long time. And as a black artist, as a black public figure, I think a lot of us are often wondering, questioning, dealing with the issue of like, what if any social responsibility do we have to our greater community? And I think that's a reasonable thing to think about when you are underrepresented in whatever, you know, field you happen to be doing.
You also have another project, which is Pixar's Soul. And you were originally brought onto the film as a screenwriter, but you ended up being a co-director. Tell me how your role ended up expanding. I mean, this is Pixar's first lead black character, so that's a really big deal.
All Pixar films begin with a pitch and a concept from the director. And in this case, it was director Pete Docter who came up with the idea for what would become Soul. And at the point at which they decided to make the main character a black jazz musician, I think that was when they figured, okay, it's time to bring in a new writer, collaborator, to make sure that in executing this story, you know, it, the character, his development gets the attention that it needs. And that's when I was brought in. That was about 2 years into the process. And for those who don't know, animated films take between 4 and 8 years. So it was a ways into the process, but still fairly early on. So I came in as a writer, but then soon after I started, in addition to writing, Pete definitely wanted my input in lots of areas outside of writing, things ranging from character design to the set design to the casting of the film to kind of being a vocal part of the internal and external culture trusts that were formed of consultants and employees around the film. And as I took on more and more jobs, Pete decided that, having me just as a writer or writer plus wasn't enough. And that's when he asked me to be co-director and to help him finish the whole film.
And we mentioned the fact that Soul is has Pixar's first Black lead character. Again, to think about the fact that we're in 2021 and we're still having firsts when it comes to Black people, people of color more broadly in animation and even in Hollywood across the board, it's sort of surprising. But when you were working on this, I mean, how did that weigh a lot? Like the pressure of creating Pixar's first Black lead character and how that would be received? Or were you just really involved in the process and figured, you know, we'll see how the audience responds to it?
It weighed on me heavily, but that, and I don't want to make it sound like it was a burden, because it was a burden I was honored and happy to take on, because it was a start. I mean, the interesting thing about Soul is that, look, it's not like Pixar was trying to say that Soul was a Black movie, so to speak. It's a movie. It's the themes of Soul are universal, but our exposure to those themes are through the prism of a Black man, and to me, that's a big deal. To have this universal human story be allowed to be told through the life and experiences of a Black man. So my approach to it was like, you know, imagine if you're making a film like It's a Wonderful Life or A Christmas Carol. And those are films that obviously have very, very universal themes, but the main character happens to be Black or happens to be Latino or happens to be Asian. I think that, you know, it's about making sure that the character that's represented up on that screen in his or her world is an authentic character and recognizable to people from that community. So, you know, that was a big part of, I think, our collective responsibility to make sure we got that right. But again, at the end of the day, we were definitely trying to tell a universal story. But I think by being careful and cautious and you know, detailed when it comes to the hyper specificity, it opens people up to receive that universal story you're trying to give them.
You've now worked in journalism and entertainment, two industries that have had issues with to put it mildly, with inclusivity and diversity and, you know, welcoming and promoting and highlighting people of color and Black artists. And have you seen any changes in Hollywood that make you optimistic about where the industry is going from here?
Yes, I have. I mean, the thing that makes me most optimistic, because look, for example, look at this year. There is just a bumper crop of incredible films that have been created by, not just starring black actors and actresses, but created by Black artists of color, directed by, written by, and in some cases produced by. And I think that speaks to what we need. That's the big improvement, is that it's going up the chain. It's not just about having Black representation in front of the camera. It's about the representation behind the camera, and most importantly, at the decision-making level. You know, I think that you speak about a film like Soul, and people are heralding the fact that there's a Black lead. They're heralding the fact that it's a Black writer and a Black director. They should also be heralding the fact that there was a Black executive producer, Keri Hart, one of our EPs. And that's a name that people might not be as familiar with, but Keri's had an illustrious career working at Lucasfilm, and her contributions at the executive level are a big part of how these films that get out to people are, you know, how they look and how they're going to be received. So I definitely would say that there has been improvement, but we always have to be vigilant so that we don't, the pendulum doesn't swing the other way and the doors don't swing closed. I'm more optimistic than in the past that the doors won't swing closed, because I think you have seen more representation though still small, at higher levels in the food chain.
I think your point is also about Seoul in particular is, you know, we get there by, you know, creating universal stories with characters of all backgrounds, not just, you know, like you said, a black animated film, but a film that happens to have a universal theme that also happens to feature black characters. And I think that's an important way to approach this. Kemp, we're talking to a lot of folks on this show every day, and a lot of the times we're asking them, is there something that they're doing to find some joy or some hope in this terrible moment that we're living in for so many people? I mean, where and how are you finding joy in this moment?
I mean, it sounds really corny, but just like in Seoul, I'm finding joy in the little things. I really am. I've been pretty much trapped
at
home.
That's not corny, by the way.
Okay. Like, I've been trapped at home for the better part of the past 10 months. And it's given me a lot of time to reflect. It's given me a lot of time to think. It's also given me a lot of time to kind of look back and enjoy different things and kind of introduce new things into my life. It's given me time to reconnect with people that I haven't been able to speak to for many, many years. And all of those things are the gifts that I have to see them as gifts because, you know, I'm still here. And life itself is really like the biggest gift of all. And it's a troubling time, but I guess I'm lucky because I've written things that are historically centered and I'm a bit of a history buff. And as troubling as the times we're living through are, we have to remind ourselves that there's been other troubling times again and again and again in the past. And however we come out of them, if we come out of them at all and we're still here, then that's the gift.
Kemp Powers is the screenwriter for One Night in Miami and co-director and co-screenwriter for Pixar's Soul. Kemp, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.